Chapter 12, A New Beginning. My training in Taekwondo had first served as a way to follow the inspirational footsteps of my father, then later as a way to channelize my anger towards him. At 17, when I started in high school after finishing 9th grade, I hadn't seen him for 6 years, and the aching memories of the divorce seemed further and further away. My mother had remarried, and we had all moved, together with her new husband and his daughter, into a beautiful big house. It took me a little while to get used to not being the oldest man in the house. But my stepfather was a good man and a highly respected local politician for the Social Democrats. His views on life, society, and the people around him were similar to mine and inspired me a lot. Life was easy again. Starting in a new school was fun, and I made a lot of friends. My 14-year-old little brother was growing up, and we enjoyed every single afternoon on the football field, pretending to be the superstars of the 1990s Manchester United team. For years, we played every day from the minute we got home from school until the sun went down. In the summer, we had halftime dinner in the evening, then went out again and could play almost till midnight before it got too dark. The anger towards my father and the pain he had caused us all had slowly faded into the background. I was even starting to consider forgiving him and maybe one day seeing him again. With all the new things happening in my life, I was looking forward towards the future more than backwards towards the past. The therapeutic purpose of my training started to become irrelevant as I realized I had nothing I needed therapy for anymore. Then other interests took over more and more of my time, and eventually I decided to quit after more than 10 years of kicking pretty holes in the air. I spent a year trying to balance party, sleep, and schoolwork without doing any exercise other than kicking a ball with my brother. He was playing in a club on an increasingly ambitious level, whereas I was more interested in just juggling around with the ball and hanging out with him. Eventually, I realized that my body was deteriorating from all the drinking and lack of sleep. I was tired of seeing myself going in the wrong direction physically, and I knew I needed to do some real training again. When I started high school, I was really skinny. At 17, I weighed only 63 kilos and stood 1.85 meters tall. Drinking at least once every week for a year hadn't helped the state of my body, and with the social pressure in that age, gaining some weight was something I wanted to do. With my usual methodical approach, I started reading everything I could find on bodybuilding online. Going to a gym didn't really appeal to me, so I cleaned out some furniture in my small room to fit a training bench that I had bought used online. Within a year, and with a lot of help from natural hormones in just the right age, I weighed 75 kilos and had finally rediscovered my passion for training and taking care of my body. I was enjoying my new feeling of confidence from having gained weight, and it reminded me of how good I felt about myself when I trained Taekwondo. Lifting weights at home in my room became boring in the long run, and I started to think of other things I could do. It didn't appeal to me to go back to Taekwondo, and having grown up with it the way I did, it was really the only martial art to me. I knew about judo, karate, kung fu and such, but the thought of actually trying it had never even crossed my mind. It had nothing to do with the sense of pride or feeling that I was only supporting one style. My mind was simply hardwired to the strange fact that standing up and kicking was the only way to train martial arts. Until one day when I saw a flyer in the local supermarket with a picture of Bruce Lee. Learn Jeet Kune Do, the scientific fighting art of Bruce Lee, called for a free trial. I had watched all the Bruce Lee movies 100 times as a kid and read all his books from the local library. I ripped off a slip with a phone number and put it in my wallet. Weeks went by where I just looked at it. I got my hands on some of the old books again and practiced lead jabs and side kicks in front of the mirror in my room in between sets of bench presses and bicep curls. I even bought myself foam nunchucks to train with. It only lasted about 4 days before I smashed a glass cupboard with it while doing my best Enter the Dragon reenactment. I finally gathered the courage to call the number and ask for that free trial lesson. The guy on the other end asked about my prior training experience, and I told him that apart from 10 years of Taekwondo, I had also been training Bruce Lee's techniques intensively at home for about a month. He laughed a little bit, but tried to hide it. I must have sounded like the most goofy teenage Bruce Lee fan ever, or probably just exactly like every other guy who reacted to an ad like that and called to hear more. I convinced a few of my friends from school to join me for the trial lesson. I told them it was the ultimate street fight training invented by Bruce Lee. We were shitting ourselves from nervousness when we found the sports hall and entered the door with a little sign saying Jeet Kune Do. I had imagined how we would be training in a back alley, hitting pads with nunchucks and clinching against garbage containers. The instructor Jacob was shorter than me, but at least double the width. He had light blonde hair and was wearing a tight white tank top, revealing some serious guns. He seemed really nice, and we immediately felt more confident about the training. There were only two other people in the class. One of them was warming up with some shadow boxing and impressive flying kicks. He was muscular, wearing silk kung fu pants, running shoes, small Vale Tudo gloves, and long hair that was just covering his eyes, so he had to flick it away every other second. We all agreed that he looked exactly like Ken from the Street Fighter computer game. Jacob went on to demonstrate the curriculum we would be going through if we signed up for the training. Boxing, kicking the legs, elbows, knees, trapping, clinch, stick fighting. My mouth must have been wide open in awe for at least half an hour. I had no idea that training like that even existed. Just the concept of grabbing hold of someone was completely new to me. My mind was just about to blow out from pure awesomeness overload as Jacob dropped the bomb on me. He indicated to one of the guys to get in the mount position and made a small speech about how it was no problem to be on bottom there. I'm not sure exactly what techniques he showed to demonstrate an escape sweep and submission from there on. Partly because I had no idea what was going on, and partly because my world had just been hit by a dinosaur extinguishing size meteor of amazement. The guys were fighting on the ground. I could not believe my own eyes as I saw the attacker fly through the air and then get caught in arm locks, chokes, and footlocks that rendered his face in pain and forced him to give up. Jacob hadn't even broken a drop of sweat, and even more amazing, he hadn't thrown a single spinning high kick the whole time. I was sold. The striking training and clinch was interesting, but the ground grabbing was absolute love at first sight. From that second on, I have never looked back and can honestly say that I've been thinking about grappling every single day since. And at the time of writing, Street Fighter Ken has been my training partner and friend for 13 years and counting. I was more passionate about learning martial arts than ever. It felt like I was 7 again and had just started training, eager to learn as much as I possibly could. Restitution was never an issue at that age. I could easily train hard several days a week, sleep just a few hours at night, go through school in the daytime, and have Friday and Saturday nights out with my friends. We had a lot of fun those years, and there wasn't a bar or club in Copenhagen we didn't try to sneak into, even before most of us had turned 18. One late night, I thought I recognized a beautiful blonde girl standing in line outside the bathroom. There was something about her, but it took me at least half an hour to be certain. It was my beloved cousin, the daughter of my father's sister. We were almost exactly the same age, and she had been like a sister to me even since we were little. When I stopped seeing my father, I lost contact with that whole side of the family. I had missed her, and we started seeing each other again, trying to catch up on all the years that had passed. I felt like we had a special friendship, a connection to our childhood together. Through her, it was natural for me to be reunited with a few more members of my father's side of the family. It felt good to see them, and I sensed where it was all starting to lead for me. I had a job a few days a week after school, working at a small company updating their website and maintaining their computers. It was a sunny summer day when I sat there and gathered the courage to send an email that would change my life. Hey Dad, it's been a long time, and I was thinking that maybe we should start talking a little bit again. I don't feel like rushing anything, but I'm open to perhaps seeing you again one day. I hope you're doing well and that we can have a future together again at some point. Christian. It had been a long time, and I started to miss the father figure that had inspired me so much as a kid. It still felt like a long way to go before I wanted to actually meet him, and even long before I could meet his new family. He had married the woman he left my mother for and had a son together with her. It was a big pill for me to swallow, and I wanted to take it one small step at a time. I looked at the send button for a very long time. All day, I had been thinking about whether it was the day when I would finally contact him again. I hadn't done much work that day and couldn't concentrate in school either. Click. Adrenaline rushed through my veins. The sound of clicking that button only lasted for a split second, but defined a sharp turning point in my life. I had let go of the last bits of my anger and was ready to forgive and move forward. Christian, there is someone here for you. The woman working the reception knocked on the door to the room I was sitting in and said someone had come to see me. It had only taken about 20 minutes before he stood there. Just like he had immediately jumped on his motorbike and driven all the way across the country to meet his own father as he heard he had returned from Australia, he dropped everything when he received my email and drove straight to where I was. As a kid, I had always admired him as a man of action, someone who got things done right away instead of just talking about it. If he had an idea or dream, he would start realizing it right away. There would be no waiting. While everyone else was talking about what they wanted to do, he was already out in the backyard with all his tools spread out on the grass and had begun building right away. He was wearing a blue work jacket over a white t-shirt. It was full of screwdrivers, pens, and other tools for his job as an electrician. His shoulders and arms looked strong. He had less hair and more wrinkles than I remembered. 7 years had passed, and there he stood, my own flesh and blood. "I've missed you," he said, with tears in his eyes. I wanted to be mad at him for not respecting that I needed time. On the other hand, he did exactly what was necessary to break the ice and went straight for the kill like he had been doing his whole life and I myself had done with everything I'd set my mind on. I immediately understood that he had done the only right thing. My legs were shaking and it felt like I had been buried in quicksand as I tried to get up from my chair. I gave him the longest hug I had ever given anyone. It was all the hugs I had missed for so many years combined. He smelled exactly like I remembered from when I was 12 years old and had seen him the last time. My colleagues were looking confused at us through the door from the other room. I hadn't told him that I had been away from my own father for so long, and in the blink of an eye, he was back in my life. In that second, everything was forgiven.